This is Dojo Live, Tech Without Borders, stories that bring us together. Hello and welcome to Dojo Live. This Wednesday, January 31st, we did it. We finally did it. We've come to the end of January, this month that feels a bit eternal. But I'm happy to, I'm happy to celebrate that with you as your host today, Kim Lantis. Joining me back there is America Guerrero. Hi, Ami.
Hey, Kim. Hey, friend.
Hi there.
Hello. And Fran, thank you for helping us wrap up the month of January today on Dojo Live. This is Fran Kauslerich, who is the co-founder of Turnio. Did I get that right, Fran?
Perfectly right, Kim. Thanks so much. And thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you. You know, it's going to be a fun conversation because we're talking about your new hotel tech that is enabling experiences. We're going to dive into the conversation of how hotels can offer their guests incredible experiences when they're traveling, activities, and more. But before we do, we'd like to get to know you a bit more. Fran, can you tell us your story, your passion? It's what's led up to founding Turnio, please.
Yes, absolutely. I'm originally from Croatia, but I've lived abroad most of my life. I've lived in London and Amsterdam and the US and Hong Kong and Brussels. And it's been really, really fun. I've always loved traveling. And I always took little breaks when I would quit my job and I'd go traveling to Southeast Asia or to Iran or to Africa or to South America or to Central America. And I've always loved all of the experiences I've lived there. You know, it's just like you don't travel to sit on a plane. You don't travel to sleep on a different pillow. You travel to experience amazing new things. And so when my co-founder asked me to join him, and when he presented his idea to me, which we've obviously built on since then, it was just the most natural yes I've ever said in my life, probably.
I love that. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit jealous. You know, real easy question here at the start. What's one of your favorite foods that you found in all these amazing places you've got?
Well, I think I'd have to say Indian food in Kerala, Mexican food in Yucatan Peninsula, are probably the top two. I can't tell you which one is the favorite.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. All right. So we get your passion and it's all about experience. Tell us what Turnio does and the problems that you're solving.
So Turnio is a very simple piece of technology. Sometimes you know how people in startups say we're like the Uber for something. Well, Turnio is like the Shopify for hotels, for experiences, right? So we help hotels build amazing, beautiful looking experience stores where they can embed these onto their websites. They can build their beautiful store, embed it on their website, and start offering guests live, bookable tours, activities, transfers, amazing experiences, both organized by them as a hotel, but also by their partners, right, in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And that's what Turnio is all about. We're B2B only, so we don't exist as a brand in front of travelers, right? We are the technology that helps hotels and other brands sometimes sell and offer tours and activities.
All right. Well, that's absolutely easy to understand. I love it. So let's dive into this how, right? This idea of how hotels and their guests can offer these amazing travel experiences. But maybe before we get to the how, I would like to understand a bit more of the why.
Right. Well, the why goes back to my travel stories. You know, I'd land in Hanoi, Vietnam, and you have to go and see Ha Long Bay. And it's one of the top experiences in North Vietnam. And you're walking down Hanoi streets and you're having little cups of Bia Hoi, which is this fresh beer, 25 cents a glass. And it's all amazing. And you're like, I have to book myself on Ha Long Bay. Like, how do I get there? And then everyone's trying to sell you the Ha Long Bay experience, but there's a huge variety there. You can either end up on a rat infested boat where you'll want to jump into the sea and never go back, right? Or you can end up on a beautiful little island in Ha Long Bay, observing, you know, the surroundings and loving it. And you don't know anyone in Hanoi. So how and who is going to recommend you stuff? And if you go on Google, if you go on other places, you will find about 4,000 different Ha Long Bay tours, and you don't know which one is for you, right? Now, I was staying at a hostel. I think it was called Hanoi Backpackers Hostel, right? And I came to the reception, and I said, hey, guys, can you recommend me a good tour that people similar to me go to when they want to visit Ha Long Bay? And they did, and it was an amazing experience. And hostels, hotels, apartment managers, apartment owners are people in a destination who are your best friend when you don't have friends there. They're the people you trust. Hilton did a piece of research, and 80% of guests trust their hotel for recommendations for things to do in a destination, right? That's number one of the why. Number two is COVID. Since COVID, we've started booking things online in advance. There's a 99% growth in advance bookings of experiences. So prior to your trip, before you would like me rock up and say, I want to go to Halong Bay tomorrow. But since COVID, you realize two things. One, it taught us to book things digitally because you had to book everything digitally, whatever age you were. And number two, if you don't book in advance, you don't get a seat. You don't get a table in that restaurant, right? So people more and more book things in advance. And that's where we came and said, well, wait a second. People trust their accommodation providers and people want to book stuff in advance. So why don't we enable those that are most trusted in a destination to easily offer tours and experiences to their guests? And that's basically the why. Okay. Apart from the fact, as I said before, that experiences are central to travel. You travel to experience things, right?
And of course, it's a way for, I'm guessing, hotels to increase their revenue as well via commissions and whatnot.
Absolutely. It's one of the reasons, but I'm shocked even today when we have hundreds of hotels on our platform that that's not the main reason. You know, hotels realize three things. Number one is their guests are happier when they book amazing experiences. And TUI did a piece of research which has shown that guests who book an experience alongside a hotel across their resorts in TUI, and they're a huge global operator, they're 18% higher NPS score, net promoter score, than those guests who only book an experience. So if your guest books, doesn't have to book with you, but if they go on an amazing experience rather than just lying in bed or on the beach or on the sun lounger, they're going to leave better reviews for your hotels. They're going to stay longer. They're going to recommend you to families and friends. And that's the important part. So guest satisfaction, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is like your front office, right? They used to have to call, hey, I've got three guests for tomorrow, for Halong Bay. These are their names, dates of birth, passport numbers. It's really hard operationally on a hotel to manage this, but it's important. That's why guests are there, right? So operational simplification, number two. And then, of course, number three is the additional revenue. But very rarely is that the driving force for hotels that take up and come to Ternio.
I do get it, the feeling of being kind of productive with that kind of experiences when you're staying at a hotel. So I'm curious, how does it look like? So, for example, if there is a platform, there is already a technology, right, that is going to help me to book in advance that tourist experience. So I go to the website of that hotel and there is going to be like a tiny OTA full of that kind of experiences and I select them, or is there another virtual space where I will see my options?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love that we're getting into the nitty gritty. I rarely have a chance.
Yeah, we talked about the why. Let's talk about the how.
Exactly, the how, right? So first of all, guests browse hotel websites a lot more than hotels think. So we've done some research and I've seen that 30% of guests will look at the hotel website regardless of where they've booked. So they could book through an Expedia or booking.com or an OTA, right? They will still go on the hotel website and see what it is that they offer, recommend, or a transfer or something. So guests will look at the website, and it's important to have content there that will encourage guests to either maybe stay longer or plan their trip around it. But most of our client hotels send guests information already in the pre-arrival stage. That means a booking confirmation email already contains a link saying, hey, do you need a transfer? Or here are our top experiences in Hanoi, for example, right? Top five things to do in Hanoi. And then best hotels that are really driven by experiential hospitality, they tend to send another email about 7 to 9 days before guests' arrival that says, hey, Kim, you're arriving to Hanoi in 7 days. Get ready. Here are top five things to do. And we recommend you book in advance because Halong Bay gets booked up and our provider is really popular. Click here and book your tour. And then when a guest clicks, America, as you said, it takes them to the hotel website. where we've embedded a widget. It's a really simple, really beautiful thing. And you can have multiple widgets on your website because you might have a spa and you might have a dining session and you might have an excursion section. And in each of those, there's a little widget. It's two lines of code. It's incredibly easy to implement. And you can then control that widget through your Ternio dashboard as a hotelier, whether it's your front office manager, concierge, sales, or marketing person managing it. They can add and remove experiences from their store really easily. But what's best of all is they can also create new experiences and very easily put them onto their store. So now we have a lot of hotels who are like, hey, we've got this Valentine's Day dinner, like a really posh, beautiful, romantic dinner. Can we put that onto our shop? And you're like, yes, absolutely. Then they'll come up with, hey, we've got a New Year's concert. Can I put tickets for that on there? Hey, I've got a free morning yoga class that I offer at my hotel every day. Can I put free stuff onto there? And the answer to all of those is a resounding yes. Like anything that's bookable, anything that has a description and that has a time and that has a duration, you can put into your experience store. And it's really easy to manage. So that's where I love the creativity of our client hotels who just keep coming up with new use cases. And that's what it should be about, right? You give them the technology and they find new ways of using it.
That's actually a great segue into one of my questions. I was thinking is who's responsible for these experiences? Like you mentioned that your partner's Ternio is the hotel, right? That's your client base. So when it comes to the experiences that they're booking, these trusted partners that they're finding, does Ternio help on that side? Or is it each individual hotel and organization that has to find that as well?
I'd say it's a bit of both. Yeah, it is a marketplace. But the way that we approach new markets usually is, for example, North Adriatic, Istria, this beautiful region of Croatia, which is like one of the top tourist destinations in Europe. You know, we started and partnered there with a beautiful hotel chain that has about 35 properties. And they're the ones who know their destination best. They're the ones who know their guests best. And they're the ones who came to us and say, hey, here are 20 partners that I'd really want to offer in my stores. Now, we as Ternio then help onboard those partners. And the service is free for those partners. So every single of those partners is like, yeah, absolutely. Instead of the hotel calling me up all the time, I'm going to be getting guests as I, you know, digitally, basically. And of course, they pay a commission, but they used to pay a commission anyway. So their sales go up and nothing changes commercially for them. So we onboard those. But then we also look at the offer. And as we onboard other people and as we onboard other experiences, we always talk to our partner hotels and we're like, hey, you're missing something in the gastro experiences segment because there's a lot of wine tasting or truffle hunting. Why don't you add that to your store? And then they'll see other partners on our platform and they'll see their reviews. They'll see everything about them. And they can add them with a click of a button to their store. No need to sign contracts, no need to, you know, build connections. You click a button and suddenly you're offering wine tasting or truffle hunting. And that's something that they really appreciate. So we're building that marketplace, and as more hotels then join, they can add things into their store. They can add their partners to Ternio. And basically you're building these amazing networks, which elevates the destination. And you build collaboration between all of the players in that destination in Istria. That means that suddenly the tourist season has expanded because people aren't just coming for the sea and the sun. They're coming for amazing things to do in September, in October, when there's grapes and winemaking and olive oil making and all of these. And that's the thing that really helps the entire destination and what we're kind of proud of as well.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. And I'm curious. I know that the hospitality industry is constantly evolving in terms of technology. How has been your experience with the collaboration process with the engineering teams and when you are having conversation with hotels? Have you ever experienced like a hotel who is like transitioning with tech and is making the website more beautiful, but it is in that process and you want to implement that code that you just explained us? How has been that process? Is it difficult? Is it better for hotels that are bigger or maybe hotels that are like locally growing or share, please?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's such a great question because when we started Ternio, Mattia and I, we didn't have an idea of being what we are today. Like many, you know, tech startups, you evolve and you change and you pivot. We wanted to be the infrastructure that connects, you know, sellers of experiences and organizers of experiences, just the B2B infrastructure, the pipes, if you want. And then when we talked to a lot of, let's say, hotels or other hospitality players, we've realized that they're struggling a little bit on the technology side, right, with the front end. And so we built this simple store front end on our domain, right? And that we still sometimes use. So like it'll be hotelname.turnio.travel, because some of the smaller boutique hotels will tell us, my website isn't that great, or I'm in the process of building it, or I'm in the process of changing it. And then we'll let them just use our domain, and the pre-arrival messaging and everything will lead into that. But the branding and everything will be beautiful as their hotel, right? The colors, the logo, the punchline, everything is, looks like their hotel. But we help them with that because, yeah, you're right. There's a big discrepancy in the hospitality industry. Some are super tech savvy, some are less so. What I will say, though, is hospitality industry beats itself up a lot by saying they're technologically backward. I used to work in banking, and believe you me, like hospitality industry is like I don't know, NASA for banking. So, yeah, I mean, I love banks as well, don't get me wrong, but as an industry, but really it's not that bad, and they're fast and they're nimble and they respond to guests. And there's some amazing tech players out there today that really help elevate the entire hospitality industry. But when there is an, you know, perhaps a client that is not as technologically savvy, or that tells us, hey guys, like, you know, this looks amazing, but we don't even have a good website. We try to console them and say, that's fine. You can still use Turnio. Your guests can still book amazing experiences. And we've tried to adapt the product to them so that you can have fully integrated API inside your beautiful app selling experiences if you're an advanced hotel chain. Or you can have a standardized store branded like your hotel sitting on our domain if you're perhaps a little bit less technologically savvy.
That's great. I, you know, this true white label sort of experience. I wanted to come back to the experiences themselves and something you said earlier in the show, and that was finding the right experience for your guest. And so, you know, coming to what we're talking about right now, technology, you know, these large chains or these luxury five-star hotels or places, the experiences I imagine that they're going to be offering their guests will be different than, you know, the backpacker who's staying in a hostel, right? Not to say that somebody staying in a luxury hotel wouldn't be interested in finding truffles, but I imagine that that's going to be more up the alley of like a backpacker, right? So how does that work in terms of finding that right match of experiences? Like, is there this risk of getting it wrong and actually, you know, creating a bad experience rather than a good one? How can we kind of calibrate that?
Yeah, that's a great question as well, because I was sitting and listening to some of the big OTAs speaking about selling experiences. And if you Google now, if you want to go see the Colosseum in Rome, there's 6,000 different tours of the Colosseum in Rome. And some of them have amazing reviews, 3,000 five-star reviews. And you're like, yeah, fine, but I'm staying at a 10 euro a night hostel, or I'm staying at an 800 euro a night five-star beautiful luxury boutique hotel in Rome. Very different. And it you know, if you see 3,000 great reviews, you don't know who is it that left those reviews. And so that's again where we believe that the B2B distribution of experiences is the future, because the hostel in Rome will be offering the free walking tour of the Colosseum, whereas the boutique, adult only, or family or whatever hotel will be offering a different tour. And here we always rely on our partners, on our hotel clients, to tell us, because they really do know their guests better. And I'm not claiming to know Rome better than them, or to know, you know, their guest preferences better than them. What I do know is a little bit about how people book travel, how people book experiences, right? And I can do an amazing UX and I can do an amazing store and all of that, but it's them who ultimately select the experiences, and it's us who perhaps advises them if we think that there's an element missing, such as, hey, transfers are really important, or we see other hotels in Rome of similar type that are selling transfers, right? Or that are selling gastro wine tastings or whatnot. But we really rely on our partners to make sure that the experiences are tailored to their guests. And another important factor is on every one of the Turnio web stores, right, embedded on the hotel website, you'll have reviews. So every guest will get a review request after an experience. And when they leave a review on the website itself, it's going to say, here's a guest who stayed at this property, or stayed at a similar property. So the reviews that we collect and post on there are really relevant reviews, because it's not that you're reading a hostel review if you're staying at a five-star hotel or vice versa. These reviews are actually relevant because they're from people who are of a similar profile to you. And you can be assured that if they were happy, you're more likely to be happy, right, as well throughout that experience. So reviews are a really important factor as well.
That's nice, because it leans not only into me as a traveler trusting the hotel, but trusting other travelers, right, like me,
exactly.
And kind of creating this beautiful network. I love that. Talking about, you know, this information, is there reporting available to your hotels, or what type of information are they provided with after these bookings to help, you know, make things better?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because most of the hotels in the past, they used to wait until the tourism season is over. Like, they'd sign contracts at the beginning of the tourism season, then 4 months, like, they're selling experiences. And then at the end of the tourism season, they're like, okay, how did we do, right? Whereas at the moment with Ternio, they can log in at any second, and they can not only see how their sales are going in terms of experiences, whether own or third party, they can see reviews, they can remove and add things throughout the season, or they can change the order of things, depends on what they're currently perhaps promoting better or what they're seeing better results with. That's really important. But also for some of our clients, we've really tailored the reporting to them in a way that we say, hey, your conversion on this experience is really low. You know, a lot of people clicked on it, but very few booked it. So why don't we move that down in a store? Whereas this one, like 10 people clicked on it, 9 people booked it. Let's move that one up. And we do analysis, like the descriptions in this or the photos or the videos in this experience aren't really reflecting the experience well enough. So let's change that. So it's a very dynamic way of managing your experiences throughout the season, rather than waiting for it to end to change something. And that's something that our partners really, really enjoy, because they can finally take control over what is offered to their guests. And if something's going wrong, you course correct throughout the season. You don't wait for it to be over and have other guests perhaps experience an uncomfortable journey. But you can, yeah, change it when it happens.
That's fantastic. You know, you already mentioned that your tech's super simple to implement on the front end, but what you just described to me sounds kind of complicated on the back end. Like, how are you capable of doing all of this analysis? Like, I don't imagine that you've got a team of who knows how many people looking and checking and, oh no, it's the website that's off, or this description should change. How are you arriving at these conclusions?
Well, we don't have a huge team, but we've got a very, I would say, capable team that I'm very proud of. My co-founder worked for years and years at Expedia, where he was a director in their B2B, part of Expedia, which is huge and growing. And he's learned so much there about B2B distribution of hotels, B2B distribution of other elements of travel, that he can now apply that knowledge. And he's also our CEO and CTO. So from a technology perspective, he really understands it. But we've built a fantastic team of both developers, but also on the commercial and ops side, of people with experience at Shopify, at Expedia, at BlaBlaCar, and also operators of actual hotels. Like, we've got a person on the team who bought land in Costa Rica, built a hotel, ran it for years, sold the hotel. I've got a team member who's worked front office for years and years and has really learned how hotel operations work, what it's like to be standing at the front desk and a guest asking you about, you know, hey, what can I do here this week, when you have 20 people behind him who just want to check in and you're having to manage that situation. And that really helps operationally behind it. But also obviously understanding the other side, the supply side, the experiences side. And that's where passion comes into play. Like, I'm sure I've conveyed sufficiently how much I enjoy travel and experiences, and how many experiences I've done. I can't even count. But it's about knowing, hey, here the meeting point isn't really described well. I wouldn't know where to go. Or here, what do I do if I don't find the driver, or et cetera? What do I have to bring? Can I eat there? Can I bring my dog? So experiences is a very complex part of travel. And that's where I think our solution is quite defensible, in terms of not a lot of people can pull it off very quickly. It's not like you can just copy the solution and start doing it. You really have to have a thorough understanding of both sides of the marketplace, in a way. The supply side with tour organizers, and the demand side with the resellers, in this case, hotels.
With accessibility, how have you seen a change in the experiences industry, so sector? So for example, now I can share with the world that I'm pregnant. And I went to England and I wanted to know if, for example, there was a long tour that I needed to walk and walk and walk, but there was not like a specific information for people like me or someone else who is in a wheelchair. Is this something that you have seen in Ternio that now is changing, that now it is really important to implement?
That's such a great question. Congratulations on the baby. I think the main part there is before you'd come to the desk at the hotel and you'd say, hey, I want to go on this tour tomorrow. And they would usually pull out that old catalog with you know, some printouts, an A4 piece of paper, and it says walking tour of Stonehenge or whatever, right? And you wouldn't actually have a lot of information on it. It had a few photos, a price, and a title. And you wouldn't be able to assess, hey, what does this actually include? And what does it not include? And what are some of the notes that say, hey, a lot of heavy walking included? You wouldn't have detailed photos and you wouldn't have perhaps a video. Using technology today, when you go on a website of one of our clients, you will see all of these things. It'll say included, you know, boat ride or a car ride or a transfer or not, or itinerary. You will be walking for 3 hours and then you will reach Stonehenge and then we will do this or that, right? So what we've seen is managing expectations, like everything in life, is key, right? And if a guest expects an old wooden boat somewhere and you give him a new plastic modern boat, he's not going to be happy, or vice versa. He might have expected a new boat and gets an old wooden boat, right? So managing expectations is key. And here it's about being transparent and writing it out nicely. And then if a person is pregnant or disabled, they can see for themselves, hey, this includes 4 hours of walking. That might not be for me. Whereas this other tour is on a little cart or train or electric car, whatever, right? And I can do that one. And that's where I feel like technology itself lends itself to helping people make an informed decision about what's right for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the pace of technology, and right now, artificial intelligence is at a lightning speed pace. And with that, right, is the generative AI. Do you see this piece for you in your future with Ternio or other experiences? Like, just how we laid out, like, it sounds like it's still somewhat limited to a written description or things, but at what point are we going to be able to just say, I want a boat ride that is as old fashioned as possible and as authentic. My price range is, you know, $20 per person. And I do have a person who with limited mobility. Where do I go? Like, can we drill down like as we would, I would ask you, and boom, here's your answer. How far out are we from that reality?
We're there already, I think. It's just about tweaking it more and more and more and more and learning in a way. But, you know, when America's baby comes over into the world and she books, a room perhaps alone or with a partner and books a baby cot, then the hotel knows all of this information. Google doesn't always know that information, right? Google might know now, okay, she booked a flight to London or to the UK, but doesn't know all of the other things there. Whereas the hotel knows that this person has ordered a baby cot. And the hotel can already tailor the pre-arrival email to not include a bunch of wine tasting or pub crawls, because it's likely that America with her baby won't be going pub crawling every night, but might include some more family-friendly activities, right? Now, we've already started building it and we've launched the first version of like an itinerary planner, which is tailored to a type of itinerary, romantic, relaxing, adventure. And it takes into account, okay, arrival date, 20th of February, length of stay, 5 days in London, you're there for the first time. Hey, here's a set by day of things you could do. And the things we're offering you aren't all bookable. You know, it might just be go for a walk, go see the Big Ben. It doesn't have to all be bookable, but it can have some elements of you need to book this in advance and you need to book that in advance. And obviously that it's tailored that if you're arriving on the 20th and I'm recommending you something on the 21st, that there's live availability on that. As in, you know, it's there's spaces there that I don't offer you things that you can't book for that day. So we're already trying out things and we're doing it. I think there's a lot of work to be done still. But I think AI will change travel. And not to the extent that everyone talks about, not at the pace that everyone talks about, but it definitely helps tailor and personalize the offer a lot more and weed out things that you're really not into based on the information that the hotel might have about you. And that's something our hotels really appreciate as well.
Fabulous. You know, we're actually here at the end of our half hour today with you, Fran, and it's been such a fun conversation. It's gone really, really fast. I would like to bring it back to you as we close, just as an individual, just as a person. Your passion is absolutely evident when it comes to travel. I can see you're extremely happy and excited about what Tourneo is doing. Let's talk to that experience just a little bit as a co-founder, you know, taking that plunge. Do you have any words of wisdom that you might want to share with the audience in terms of what worked really well for you and maybe what you think or wish you might have done differently and counsel that, you know, people don't do what you did?
Wow. Well, what we did well was, I think, first of all, I'm really pleased or grateful, I would say, to have an awesome co-founder that has complementary skills to me. We don't always agree on everything, but it's because we are different and we have complementary skills, not the same. I'm more operational, sales driven. He's more technical, you know, structured, and we're different like that, but that brings great value to the business. So what I would advise is, if you're having a co-founder, if you're not starting a business alone, pick the right co-founder or do as well as you can. And don't pick someone who's the same as you or similar to you or thinks exactly like you. Pick someone who's different than you, but who you can communicate with and, you know, solve for those differences. So that's one thing. Something that we would have done differently. I mean, we've started the business literally on the day when, you know, war broke out in Europe. And for the first few weeks or perhaps even months, we started from the fundraising perspective a little bit and said, hey, let's try and raise funds first and then build the product. And that probably isn't the right way to do things. We've quickly pivoted and corrected, and that was great because we've moved to, you know what? Like, sure, we'll raise funds, but let's build something first. Let's put it in the hands of the customers. And the moment we did that, investors and money and all of that comes right along. So build things, show things. It won't be perfect. It'll probably be shite to start with. And then you'll build on it. But build stuff and put it in the hands of customers and do that first and then go fundraising, then go doing other things. So that's something that, yeah, it took us a few weeks or months to get into. But when we did, things took off. And we're really grateful for that.
Well, congratulations. I'm very excited about it, how you found this way to make experiences simple and accessible. Congratulations to you and your co-founder. And we wish you and Tourneo nothing but success. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you both. And it was a pleasure being here. Time has really flown. So I hope we get a chance to talk again in the future.
I hope so too. Stick around for just a minute as we go off air. But before we do, we would like to share with our audience the show that we've got coming up tomorrow. This time at a regular airtime of 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, we will be speaking with
John Saver, innovation and technology consultant at SaaS Logic. The topic is going to be subscriptions without borders. While the travel industry was an early adopter of subscription revenue, shout out to timeshares, buying preferences are changing. How can the industry meet travelers where they are in terms of how to buy? Don't miss the conversation tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific.
That's right. Thank you again. See you then, everyone. Bye for now.
Check out past episodes, transcripts, blogs, and more on our website, dojo.nearsoft.com.